This is episode 253, right here in the episode.
Right here.
And right here, right here in this episode, we talk about the latest from Helix. I get tricked into putting something on the show for Thanksgiving and a tuner from Walrus. Oh, and Andy McKee.
Hey, I just thought of another segment that we could try.
Yeah. What?
Let's all try to trick Justin into putting stuff in the show.
Just you put a link there. I really don't scrutinize them that hard. You could have me calling up all kinds of stuff, not knowing what it is until I get it open. And, well, here we are.
Yeah, this is not good. And we're like, oh, got him. Just makes for shitty podcasting.
All right. It's time for another episode of We Talk About Guitar Stuff, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. Somebody in Discord today said we should talk about the gear that we're thankful for this year.
Oh.
Because we're coming up on Thanksgiving now.
Yeah, that feels so, it's so touching. The gear we're thankful for.
The gear we're the most, I mean, I don't know if the question is like that you got this year or whatever, but
I feel like that could be any time. It could be timeless. Yeah. Mm. Timeless gear.
The gear in your own collection, I think, is the idea, right?
Yeah. What am I thankful for? My tuner. Without which, where would we be?
Yeah. That's a fun deserted island. Like, what tuner? What pedal would you have on a deserted island? Fucking tuner pedal.
Fucking tuner, you idiot. What's wrong with you?
To tell people that, and they're like, "Oh well, no, for this over."
I meant
a tube screamer.
I wanted a divisive answer. All right, let's. I was about to say let's ponder that, and we'll circle back to that in a little while later in the episode. But the truth is, I won't think about it at all. I'll be much too distracted by whatever's happening.
Yeah.
Right here in the episode. So,
okay.
So my kids lately, this is the part of the show where we do the part that's actually part of Derek's other podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me.
My kids got, hives fucking all over her body for like the last 3 days. The poor thing has been itchy. AF, and I'm like, I'm Zyrtecing her, I'm Benadryling her. I can't tell if either of those things actually work. Cortisone lotion seems to kind of make her skin burn a little bit. That seems to be a negative. We found some other lotion that's like oatmeal based, and that kind of makes her feel a little better. I think it's going, like this afternoon, she looks a lot better than even she did this morning. I think we're on the downswing, but she saw the doctor and they were like, yeah, I mean, you know what's fucked up? Sometimes viruses just give you hives and that's like,
yeah.
And
yeah,
that never happened to me when I was a kid, but apparently it's pretty common.
It happened to me,
man.
Yeah. It happened to me like all the way up through high school. I remember it pretty clearly. I had a few times where it was like, I actually ended up having to go to the hospital for one of them and they gave me like a shot,
yeah.
Fucking intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't an EpiPen. It was just like a regular in the
Was it cortisone or?
And
I think.
They told me it was epinephrine.
Epinephrine. Okay. Sometimes but cortisone is an allergic thing, but yeah. Yeah.
So it was just. Wow. Whew, damn. And then I had to go on like this weird steroid thing. And, it's awful.
She doesn't have any breathing trouble or anything like that. But just, it just goes on. And they were like, yeah, I mean, this might come and go for like a couple of weeks. I was like, what the fuck? Are you serious?
What the fuck? That sucks.
Yeah. So I feel terrible. Well, and then wife had like this migraine come on yesterday that's like just starting to go away. So I've kind of been receiving irritability for just like 4 straight days from my whole house. Like, I know it sucks to be them. Mm-hmm. Right. But at the same time, I'm like, I am a little close to the edge of my rope. Like whenever they snap at me, I'm like, okay, can we please?
Yeah. And you know, like when in like a week or two from now, when all is clear, are you going to, I run into this sometimes. Are you going to have a hard time waiting for an apology that isn't going to come? Maybe not isn't going to come, but like,
I hope not.
Do you know what I mean?
I feel
I've had a couple of times lately, as in like since Jack has been here, when like everybody's just, like you're saying, at the end of your rope. Mm-hmm. And there's a time where I'm like, I really deserve an apology, or at least a conversation, and it doesn't come because
probably not going to happen. Yeah.
So
I'll try not to. I don't want that to be a thing that I do. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I was surprised myself feeling that way, but anyway, in Jack news, he fell head first into a door frame yesterday.
Okay.
And like, I was trying to redirect him like with one hand, like, no, here's the thing, guys. 90% of parenting a 1.5-year-old is just redirecting them.
Yeah.
Just, nope, go this direction, please.
Right.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
So I'm doing that. I got one hand, he's holding a toy, and I'm holding the other toy, and I try to spin him around a little bit, and he trips on his shoe, and wham, like full on straight into the dome.
Instant goose egg.
Right over his eye, just whack.
Yeah.
Hits it so hard. And immediate bruise and egg. And I'm like, oh my God. And of course, when does this happen? When you need to be somewhere. Yeah. So like I'm about to leave for something and Beth is about to leave. So I'm like, oh my God. So of course, getting out the door is like requires a force of nature. But you know.
Boy, I'll tell you, I remember Aria was a lot younger than that, like not walking. And it was one of the first times that I was like home. In fact, she was crawling, but it was like mom was out having fun. You know what I mean? Mom was like, I'm going to get to go have some fun kind of thing. We're in the months territory. And Arya's crawling along and just like decides it's over. And she's just going to flop. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she's right next to the corner of this baseboard. And she's like, there's no reason for me to think that I can't just drop my body to the ground at any moment, right? Because I've never had any information telling me that that's not a thing that I can do. And just like that, the corner of like a baseboard, just kapow, like bam, right into her forehead instantly. And I was like, oh my God, like I am in so much trouble right now.
So much trouble. And then like instantly you're like, I saw this coming, but I didn't.
Yeah.
You know?
How could I? Oh man.
It was So anyway, he's fine. It's just like a
stitches free event.
Shit, dude.
So
stitches free, and he's got the swelling went down, but he's got a bruise that's just like right in time for Thanksgiving, so it'll be cool.
Ah man, you know. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. I feel fine. So
I feel all right. I'm good.
I'm doing fine.
What came in the mail. I got my PAX Unplugged badges that are designed after a VHS
cassette.
Cassette and the envelope cassette and like this little tab. Yeah. So
does
PAX
anything
Unplugged
pull out of it, or is it just
a badge? No.
Yeah.
It's got a D20 on it because PAX Unplugged is the tabletop exhibition board game conference that Beth and I are going to next week. And I'm really excited for it. So I just wanted to share the thing. It's all like beat up around the corners. You see that weathering
it's
and stuff.
Fantastic.
Oh, so good.
The computer cone thing. Like, why was that always a thing? It was
just
was on every label. Just it's shapes, square, circle, cone. It was like
cylinder maybe if you were lucky.
Cylinder if you were feeling froggy.
And they had like the really dramatic lighting. You know, they had like a real
hot spot.
That's
how you show that it's 3D.
So cool. So cool. So anyway, that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
Cool. Justin, oh my God, what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. I don't know.
Put in the show notes, topics, LOL.
Topics, lol. Those are our first two topics, topics and lol.
Topics, lol.
You know, somebody shared something in up here that they said we should do too, but it's just a pedal, right? We don't really do stuff like that, do we? Hold on, I'm scrolling up in Discord. Oh, look at this. Yeah, it's a pedal. What is it? It's a limited run pedal. Should we do that?
Yeah, whatever. I didn't look at it yet. Do it. Oh, from, right.
I'm
going to
stick it in there for later. No big deal.
Okay, cool.
Oh, there it is right there. Open that in my web browser, please. Thank you. I did some recording yesterday. I worked a weekend.
Yeah.
Just trying to think of guitar related things to talk about. We did overdubs. Actually, that might be our last session. So I might actually be down to mixing. This is a project where we've like once a month we've done like an overdub session. We're slowly finishing these songs. But yeah, kick-ass guitars and bass tones, mm-hmm. stuff like that. You know,
love it.
So that's guitar related.
Our the band A Blockbuster Summer is taking a little bit of a winter break because our drummer Mike is expecting his second baby any time now. So we're congrats.
Yeah.
if in the off chance you're listening. And so we're taking also doing stuff over the holidays and through the winter is a drag. So it lined up pretty well. I'm, you know, finishing up teaching and stuff at the moment. Not finishing up. I'm like a little over halfway through, but that's going to pick up like as we get closer to the end and holiday time. So it kind of works out well.
So you don't mind the
break. I don't mind the break. I do kind of want the bandwidth back. You know, there was a Helix update late last week. Mm-hmm. 3.7 we're on now, and there's a bunch of new amps and cabs that came with that.
Oh, shoot.
So well, I might take the time. Yeah. here's the quick version.
We're so good at this.
we're pro podcasters, guys. It's the amps are from the Line 6 Catalyst series. If you're familiar with that, which were very well received from my understanding. I have not played a Catalyst amp, but the new Helix update has those in it, along with corresponding cabinets. They also added the Nobles ODR1, which is cool. I like that circuit a lot.
Look at that.
Actually, you know what?
Look at how many fucking Helixes there are now.
Well, you see that little son of a bitch in the middle there? We have not talked about this.
If this one on the left is a stomp, then that one's just a st.
Yeah, it's just the H. Okay, this is a good idea. Let's talk about, this is called the HX1. And
that's better than the...
yes. Yeah. Okay, well, hit me with a sound. We'll talk about the HX1.
Right. I forgot that we do that. What's this one? Definitely used Sick. That last. I think okay. I used that last episode. I don't know, whatever. Oh my god, it just keeps going. There we go.
Okay, so the HX1 is a single block of the Helix, and it is essentially without the amps or cabs. So it's basically the HX effects into a single thing.
Okay.
And it's got like presets and stuff, but it's like
for somebody who's not a Helixer, how many blocks is a lot of blocks? How many blocks is an HX stomp?
8.
Okay. So it's an eighth of a HX stomp.
Yeah.
It's real little boy.
Real little. So you can have this be, and it's got all the Helix effects in it. So all of everything, all the drives, fuzzes, delays, mods.
But it's like pick one.
It's just one at a time.
One at a time, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it should have just been the stomp, right?
People call HX stomp the stomp. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
So okay, it's
whatever. It's the one.
It's got all that stuff, right? It's got all the Helix stuff in it. So it works the same way, basically. It's the same ecosystem that you're familiar with. So there's not a lot to talk about like software-wise because it's still all the Helix stuff. Mm-hmm. Aside from amps and cabs. I posted a link in the
Discord.
Yeah. My mic volume is a lot lower than Justin's, according to the chat.
Well, you know, before the show, I was mentioning, I feel like Derek's Discord volume kind of goes up and down. Some weeks it's louder than others. This week I have him turned up kind of a little bit, whereas some weeks I don't. I don't know what that's about.
My input volume is all the way up.
Yeah,
within Discord.
You know, forgive me. Turn me down and then turn your volume up, dear listener. it's the best we can do. Discord. I don't know why it does
that. Yeah, sorry.
Anyway.
So anyway, it's got all the effects, which is rad. It's stereo in and out. I haven't looked too closely at this thing, but it's got a bypass and a tap tempo, as well as
good.
Flux.
Good move.
Which the flux, yeah, I don't know what they're...
I wonder if I can get a zoom in on the one...
Tap once.
Oh, here we go.
Press the tap one time to restart any LFO-based modulation effect. So, meaning you can like reset the sine wave on something, basically. Keep going. Look at all these products, dude.
Oh,
there it is.
HS effects? Oh my God. There's like tons of stuff that we could... Here, I'm just going to zoom in on
the one. HX effects has been around forever.
Yeah, but I just don't think like... I was not... Anyway.
So anyway, it's got MIDI... Mini in and out, USB-C, external foot switch stuff. So you can like really expand this thing, but I think it's awesome, dude. Like I think it's a pedal board. It's a pedal sized thing, a regular pedal sized thing, with like the Helix guts.
Yeah. So that must be an expression on the side. You probably said that already, right?
Yeah. It's a expression and it'll also do like foot switch 3 and 4. So you can expand that a little bit to like a little switcher. The thing I really want to see though, and line 6, you can just take this idea. I've been talking about this nonstop in Discord. Make the HX1, make this product, but it's only amps and cabs.
Not effects. It's not only effects. So it's like a competitor.
It's like a Helix Iridium.
Yeah. The Iridium or like those UAD amp things. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's got all the Helix amps and cabs and like an IR loader.
You have a pedal board and then you slap this sucker onto the back of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be very cool. So,
and
then
very cool.
HX effects looks like.
That's been around for a bit. Yeah. It's like the scribble strips from the Helix, but it's only the effects portion. So you can build a little pedal board like chain with it. That's a real hell of a piece of gear too. There's a lot more foot switches than the HX Stomp.
Yeah.
It's bigger, so it's a lot bigger as well, but it's more like a controller sized, you know, like a floorboard controller.
Yeah, it does look like they just sliced off the portion of it that has that.
And it's got tons of IO. There's like effects loops on there that you can integrate as well and a bunch of other cool stuff.
Cool. There's this old standby, the Stomp, and then we got this, the big Stomp, which really
Stomp
doesn't...
Stomp XL.
It just got 4 more buttons, or I guess 6 more buttons hanging off the sides, or almost.
Yep. Same amount of DSP. It's just got some different IO. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know what this is. Then, Marketplace, because you can exchange an expression pedals, a backpack. There's the native.
Low-key, the backpack is the best purchase for the Helix stuff. Like, I have it. It's incredible. It's super overbuilt and nice. Like, it's great.
Sweet.
Yeah. I was just mentioning to Justin before the show, I picked up Helix Native because it's on sale for Black Friday. And if you have a registered Line 6 product, Helix product, you can get it for as low as $50.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's good of them.
Yeah. And like retail is like $399. So awesome. But dude.
LT. All right. Here's all the big ones. Control, just the control surface.
It's just the control surface for Helix
Rack. Or the rack right above it. Yeah, gotcha. Yep. Limited edition, you know, because it's brushed metal.
Yeah, platinum.
Oh, excuse me. I bet it's not. Oh, that seems like it's probably a bad metal to make things out of, but okay.
Yeah, it is.
And then the floor.
This one sounds like a floor.
All right. Well, that's
so
cool.
Yeah, the updates here, lots of new amps and cabs and stuff, and... Yeah. This is the thing, dude. Like Helix has been around since 2015. Yeah. And we're on version 3.7. And they just dropped these new updates like, hey, here you go.
Right.
We've been working on this. Here you go. It's free.
And I mean, the hardware is coming, but yeah, I mean, that's what it is. They're the software that supports their hardware business for the most part.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, their hardware contains software.
It's awesome. There's no subscription model. There's no.
Right. Yeah.
It's great. Good shit. Look at us pulling a show together.
Fucking A.
Live on the air.
Let's do it live.
Phew.
Man. What do you want to, so if that counted for where I wrote topics in the notes, we'll put this.
I don't even know what this is.
Critter,
what is this thing?
Critter.
The limited run all metal CFR.
We'll put
clone
critter
Thanksgiving
on the lol.
Seasonal
okay,
pedal.
So lol, here comes the critter. What am I playing? This is the critter. I'm gesturing to the critter. Apparently, it's a clone. It's a clone.
Okay. Cool.
And it's clone.
It's in like a rat style box.
It's a Thanksgiving edition.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It means that it says Thanksgiving seasonal petal, and it says classic family recipe.
Oh, so that's it.
Yep, I think this is it. I don't know because it was somebody just.
Is it because it's brown, like it's sparkly brown, like a turkey?
it's kind of a copper in the light.
Yeah,
looks like.
It's in an enclosure that looks like the old rat.
Yeah, right. The folded metal. I don't know if this is. You know, it's just a clone type pedal.
Somebody made in Motor City, USA. Like, that's cool. What's the switch do?
It it switches from up to down. I don't know.
Oh, it's a fat switch, it says. Okay, cool.
Switches from fat to not fat.
Wait a minute. This is coming through in Australian dollars. Do they have Thanksgiving in Australia? Why is my reverb showing me Australian dollars?
You know, I think it's...
What the fuck, dude?
That's what's wrong with your internet right now is that you're being routed through Australia.
It thinks I'm in Australia. Jesus Christ. Okay, whatever. I'm going to close this tab.
Okay. That was silly.
That was so dumb. Oh, my God. Where do you think I am, internet? For fuck's sake. I'm so annoyed. I'm so annoyed.
That might literally be explain something.
Yeah, the people at the switchboard are just like, what does this do? They just fucking send my pipe down through Australia instead.
Yeah, like,
of,
you know,
like,
what? Send this guy through the ocean.
Yeah, jeez. Okay, well, it seems to be working now.
Yep. You look
I'm sorry.
Clearer. Yeah. No, it's all right. It's all right. Anyway, I'll doctor some of that up in the old post here. So I'm scanning my notes, and it seems that we've covered notes and we've covered lol,
mm-hmm.
which was
covered topics and lol. Yeah,
that's what it was, topics and lol. And so now all we have left is
a tuner.
Is a tuner the Desert Island pedal for sure?
Yeah. So I
should play a sound for this,
play
right?
A sound.
All right, I'll play something. I want to play the little one. Yeah. So,
all right. Walrus Audio has a new tuner pedal.
Yeah, so I saw this a while ago, and I thought,
yeah.
What? Is it a joke? No, it's not.
No.
It's just fun.
Nope. Yeah, and I thought, like, are we excited about a tuner, right? Has there been a need for a new tuner? I don't know.
Although I did pick it as my one most important
thing. Yeah, right, yeah.
Because,
so,
oh, boy, does music suck if you don't have a tuner.
Here's the real pro tip, guys. Get your band all on the same tuner.
Oh. You think so? Are we cork-sniffing tuners now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, man. We're doing it.
Yeah, man.
Join
so,
me.
Here's the thing about the Walrus Audio Canvas Tuner, it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw this and I was like, what is there to do about tuners, right? How do we, Walrus Audio isn't going to put something out that doesn't have something about it that's better than or an improvement on or some way than the TU2 or a Polytune or anything else, right?
Yeah.
They're not a brand to just get in the market space for no reason.
Right.
So it's got a big ass screen on it and it's like an LCD screen.
Yeah.
It's a 2.8-inch TFT LCD. So
it can display images, not like...
Yeah.
Not like my tuner that's an LCD that's just like colored lights.
Right, right.
Or I guess those are LED, yeah.
Right, and it's... yes, sorry. So yeah, the Walrus one is an LCD display.
Yeah.
And it can be viewed under any stage lighting conditions, including outdoors, which is like a major issue for a lot of guitar pedals when you're playing outdoors during the day. You can't see if your gear is on or not, including the Helix screen sucks in the sunlight.
You need one of those little, like...
You need like a hood, yeah.
Right. You're shooting a movie and you need to have your
So little now, screen I'm, for checking. I'm sure you're... Like, I looked into this, like, what have they done to the Humble Tuner, right?
Yeah. Well, I did look at it to see what that is. Yes, Derek. Yeah. Yes, I did. And the answer is they made it a canvas, and that's why it's called the Canvas Tuner.
You nailed it, Justin.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Nothing but net on that one.
Yeah. So wish. Yeah.
So
do they have pictures on here or anything?
Yeah. When the tuner is in bypass mode, as in off, you can put whatever you want on the screen.
Like an E. No, this is clearly not showing.
That's the strobe tuner mode. So you can do a needle tuner. You can do a strobe tuner.
Landscape mode.
Here we go. Here we go. You can turn it 90 degrees. Here we fucking go. Like, you can turn it 90 degrees and the screen turns so you don't have to do that fucking bullshit sideways tuner thing.
That's fucking innovation. I mean, regardless of
see what I mean?
Put pictures on it, like thing. You put pictures.
Pictures. Who gives a shit? Right.
I saw this and I looked at it. Like, oh, you could put pictures on it. It's fine. Personalization is cool.
Fine.
That's fine. People like that. I did not know that it would do fucking landscape mode, bro.
Yeah.
So excited.
Now we're talking, right?
Now we're in business.
I've seen some of the suggestions for
doesn't have an off switch.
Some of the suggestions for what to put on the screen include pictures of your family, a set list, a picture that just says you sound great.
Set list. just a picture that just says you should probably tune.
Yeah, are you in tune? Question mark. I think I would be distracted if my tuner said anything. But like if there was something on it that I had to go down and read that wasn't a giant letter telling me if I'm in tune or not, I would have a hard time with that.
Yeah, but a set list, huh? Is it how? This is not that big.
2.8 inches.
That's not. I'm not going to be reading my set list off of a 2.8 inch screen from my standing height. That's not a thing. But I mean, so thank you for the suggestion, I guess.
Here's the thing about it. Like, you know when you see a compressor that has like 128 recallable MIDI presets and you're like, who on the fucking earth would need 128? Yeah. The Strymon compressor does that, right?
Who the fuck needs,
right? So I think it's like one of those things that they just call, they like do a marketing spin when it's really just a feature of the chip that's in it. And like, that's how many it can hold, you know?
So this pedal, a lot of work to make it hold less than that.
Yeah. This pedal can have a reference pitch from 390 Hertz to 490 Hertz. Like, what a fucking range that is.
By several whole tones.
Several notes, yeah. So we're not talking like 440 to 441, right? Or 432 if you're one of those weird people. 390? What the fuck is going to do this? That's way off. Oh, man.
Terrible. Why?
Precision tuning for any kind of music, they say. Like,
it's
all right,
actually,
fine.
That's actually an impediment, though. Like, if your tuner can adjust its reference pitch more than one semitone, then you're just transposing. You're not adjusting your reference pitch. You're transposing the music at that point. So why? Like, and wouldn't that get confusing? Like, if I'm starting...
Like,
I don't think about pitches in Hertz except for the few that I know off the top of my head, right? Like, we know A440 And that's
because it's a
tuning reference. After that, we don't think about it like that. So if you start going like 390, what note is that, Derek? I don't know. Like, why would I ever do that? That's stupid. Walrus?
What note is 390 hertz?
I mean, it's probably not an exact note, right? But it's...
392 hertz is G.
See, so you're already an entire tone... you're past the entire next tone. Yeah, like, you're not even past
But your tuner's going to read... Yeah, so at A 440, right, you strike A with your tuner set to 390, and it's going to say A. It's going to read A, but you're going to be playing G.
You're actually a little bit flat for G.
Yeah.
That's what's fucked up about this. Do you see how confusing that can be? So you set this thing wrong, and then you're fucked up for how long does it take you to figure that out?
I mean, here's the thing. Chances are it comes out of the box at 440, and you just never have to think about that.
But that option's in there, man.
Somebody's going to be like, I like how my guitar sounds at 432.
Look at this. Oh, wait, this is just the settings for the screen. Color theme.
It's got buttons. Yeah.
It's got
and there's firmware updates and stuff. It's got a strobe mode or
a needle
mode. It's got
the USBs. It's got a Walrus audio. Actually, no, look, the 440, the reference pitch is right there on the screen the whole time.
I would never change
seemingly,
that.
Seemingly right there.
If I joined a band and they were like, hey, we tuned to 432, I would leave.
You'd be done with that.
I know, right? I'm coming in hot with that, but like, it's fucking stupid. We have a standard reference pitch for a reason.
Putting images on it. Yes. I would not do that. I agree. That's silly, but some people will really like it. However, this landscape orientation, that's the shit.
I would put my band logo on it.
Okay. Yeah.
Something like that.
Sure.
Tone control logo.
I'm not saying like that's a shit feature and no one should use it. No, but
I'm not
like,
gonna.
I'm not gonna buy it.
Put a picture of my family on it. It's not.
But if I have a tuner pedal, and this one does landscape, I am for sure getting this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never know what my pedal board orientation is going to need to be. That this might fit nicely into.
A TU-3 is about $100.
Yeah, so you can go cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah, you can, what's the Polytune go for now? Probably about the same. $89. Okay. So this is coming in at 150.
Yeah. Paying a Walrus tax.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I don't know. It seems relatively okay.
I think there's also, I'd want to see it in person because the screen quality is a thing that they're pushing too, that it's like super bright and super easy to see and clear. That stuff does matter. I find the Polytune screen like mediocre. I have a Polytune 1, I should say. So it's like.
Right, me too.
The early, early one. I know the new ones are much brighter and stuff. That was like a big sales thing when they first reissued them.
Yeah.
Do you play outside a lot, though? But like got a new version. No, I don't. But I've done it enough times that if it comes up, I'm like, oh shoot, I get the pedal
annoying.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been, well, I mean, I should say the threshold for that is playing outside one time. You just figure that out real quick. So
right.
I've played outside like 4 or 5 times total, probably.
Yeah.
The 7-segment display on the timeline, forget it. It's like completely invisible. It may as well be off. The Helix is tricky, especially because like this is such a me problem, but I wear prescription sunglasses that are polarized, and like the polarizing thing gets weird on the screen too.
Yeah. So,
but whatever, that's a Derek problem.
Yeah, polarizing. I have that. I can't see, well, I can barely see the head-up display in our RAV4.
Yeah.
With my sunglasses, because the polarization lines up almost perfectly with that. And so it's like, when I'm wearing my regular glasses, it's like, oh, this is awesome. And then I put on my sunglasses and
Turn your head a little bit.
Yeah, I do. I sit here, I drive a little like this, and Mariel's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm looking at the head-up display.
Yeah. I've noticed, this is so off topic. I've noticed like, as I do that, the color of the road changes. Like it goes from like a light black to like a light gray to all the way like super pitch black.
As the
polarizing is so fucking weird.
The reflections, yeah. Right? That was one of those things. I did myself a little deep dive on how, like, I get some polarization, but you know what I didn't get is spiral polarization.
Yeah.
Because that's how some 3D movies were working. They the lenses were spirally polarized so that you could, because with spiral, if you turn your head, it doesn't change the color of things, right?
Yeah.
But it still works. And that's fucking bananas. I should not go on a little tangent about that right now, but
let's not.
that's some quantum mechanics shit right there in your daily life. If you go to a 3D movie.
Dude, remember 3D TVs at home? A friend.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm not even gonna.
No, this came up on something I was listening to because I play VR, and so like this sort of like that whole like technology sector, things like this come up, and it's like, oh, do you remember this, and like how this turned into that, and how that didn't stick around, and what's going to happen in 5 years, and all this sort of discussions, and 3D TVs come up now and then. It's like,
yeah, active shutter glasses. A friend of mine spent an absurd amount of money on an active shutter 3D TV with the glasses.
So you have
and
like
stuff.
Glasses that are wired to the TV. I think they
have
to be.
I think they're wireless. I actually have no idea, but like, as a person that wears regular glasses,
yeah,
we got bad news for you, man.
It's not anyway. That comfortable. Yeah, 3D movies that you. Yeah, at the movie theater are tough with glasses. I managed to do it a couple of times, but it's like, it's annoying to sit there for like 2 fucking hours.
It's pretty annoying, yeah.
Yeah. So
pretty annoying. Anyway, that's all we got, right? Is that it?
Yeah.
Tuners and stuff.
What are we? Yeah, it's fine. We recorded for a while. Well, I guess some of this is going to get cut out.
Some of this we got to cut out because
it's
fucking,
fine.
Jeez-um. Okay.
Jeez-um.
Oh, I know what we can talk about.
What?
I don't know why I didn't think of this at the top of the show.
What?
I went to see Andy McKee last night.
Oh, the Andy McKee?
Yeah. Do you know Andy McKee? Or are you
no,
doing a
I
bit?
I was okay. just doing a bit. Okay. I'm going to play a sound for you.
Okay. So I went to see Andy McKee with friend of the show, mutual friend, Taylor.
Oh, Taylor.
Over at Jimmy's Jazz and Blues Club or something like that in Portsmouth.
Oh,
and cool. Which, by the way, the fucking greatest place. Oh, my God. Loved it. Absolutely awesome venue. So anyway, Andy McKee is what happens when you read all of the Mel Bay books. Okay.
All right.
Like, he has one guitar. Like, he has completed guitar.
He's finished it.
He finished guitar, everybody.
He beat that game.
He plays guitar in a way. It's fingerstyle acoustic. And he does some of that percussive stuff and lots of like tapping and things like that. And
I think
he
I have seen this guy now that I bring up the website. Yeah.
Yeah. He plays in a way that is, he and I are playing different instruments, right? We are not in the same sport at all. He is in another universe with this stuff. Absolutely amazing show. He played a few covers, some of his own stuff. He did 2 45-minute sets that kind of crept into about an hour, which was great. There was a little intermission. He plays these wild fan fret multi-scale acoustics, which you can see there.
Yeah.
He's had one that was sort of standard tuning range, and the other was a baritone. And he's in between songs, talking to the crowd and bantering a little bit and tuning up by ear relative to the guitar itself. So he's probably got a tuner on stage, I can assume, but he's there just like, you know, doing the tuning song. But he's messing with it. Every song is in some wild different alternate tuning. And then he's throwing a capo on and like fine tuning again from there and stuff. And the whole time he's chatting and just like telling stories, and this song is about this, and I met this person and traveled here, and blah, blah, blah. And he's just tuning it up like it's no big deal. And it's honestly like crazy impressive to just like watch this guy tune effortlessly into these like very odd open tunings.
Yeah.
And alternate tunings and stuff. So anyway, I got to meet him afterwards. There was a meet and greet like included as part of the venue. So I picked up an album of his on vinyl and a poster, all like super affordable, which is great. And he signed them for me, which is awesome. And I talked to him about maybe being on the pod someday. So I got to slide into his DMs pretty soon and figure that out.
Sure.
Yeah. I was like, we mostly talk about electric guitar and stuff, but I've, after seeing him, I have so many questions. I have 10,000 questions for Andy McKee.
All right. Yeah. That sounds good. I'm game.
He's
it's all instrumental. Video masterclasses.
He's a master of fingerstyle acoustic guitar. It's out of control. He's done an amazing cover of Everybody Wants to Rule the World. He played a cover of Africa by Toto, doing all the percussion parts as well. So good. And there's no vocals. He's purely instrumental. So I have questions like, how do you, as an instrumentalist, how do you decide when a song is finished? Right. If only guitar is the contributing factor, like a lot of times when writing music, like the lyrics have an end, right? And that would, you'd work kind of based on a lyrical structure.
Oh,
probably.
I see what you're saying. You don't mean when you're writing a song, you mean like when you're constructing a song,
when you're writing it.
Yeah.
Where's the end? And like, how do you decide that a song is finished?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you do? What do you do, Andy McKee?
You just feel it in the bones of your hands.
Yeah.
It looks like you caught it, because according to this website, he's not playing again until April.
Yeah, he mentioned he's been dialing back some shows. He said previously, before COVID, he would do over 200 dates a year, which is a shitload of touring. Yep. But he's got two kids and family at home and stuff, so he's taking it easy. Like, COVID sort of forced him and many other musicians home from the road. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was like, oh, man. He said this on stage. He's like, it turns out I really like sleeping in my own bed and hanging out with my kids. And so he's, like, really taking a backseat on touring and stuff. So I'm really glad I caught him.
Yeah. Well, there's a request a show button right here, so we could... We could request a show. We should request a show, and the show is our podcast.
Here's the album. Oh, Derek, thanks a lot, Andy McKee. And,
thanks a lot, Derek.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Our title. Thanks a lot, Derek.
Oh, my God. I'm going to assume that his tone with this is like, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Derek.
That's so great.
Jeez.
This album is called Triplicity, and it's Andy McKee, Callum Graham, and Trevor Gordon Hall. And they each contributed different tracks to the album and then played on each other's stuff. So he's got some stuff on here that are on previous albums of his, but these ones are featuring these two other musicians. So they like wrote new parts and new arrangements of these songs that they already have and played together. And it's great. It's very, very good. So that's the deal. Go get a Fanfret acoustic or some shit. I don't know. How do I sign, like, sign yeah, off this get a Andy fan McKee thing?
So that you're good, bro. Like,
yeah. Yeah. He plays really hard, like really hard. Hmm. The dude's a master of dynamics. So, but yeah, I recommend Andy McKee.
Recommended. That's not
my pick of the week or anything like that.
It's not the pick of the week,
saying.
Though. So don't get your panties in a bunch about that.
Yeah. Yeah. He, really nice guy.
Yep. That's awesome. I do recognize him now that I think I said that. Now that I.
And so this venue we were at, it's a jazz and blues club that's also a restaurant. And they you get there and they've got table service and stuff, that there's a stage as well. And, they tell you before the person comes up on stage, they say, like, this is a listening room, they call it. So, you know, while yes, you're here for like an evening and there's drinks and food and stuff like that, they request that you keep your conversations, you know, quiet to the table and stuff like that, so people can enjoy the music, because it's a concert first. And
all right. it's so like, setting it, that it's expectation.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, be cool. You know, just be cool, man. The food was outstanding. The drinks were outstanding. It's such a cool vibe of a place. It's like one of those, like, kind of Anchorman style, like my study smells of rich mahogany kind of places, you know?
Many leather books, yeah.
Yeah, it's all like art deco inside, like cool tile floors, like mosaic tile flooring, just in the cool old buildings that are down in Portsmouth. And so, yeah, check it out, Jimmy's.
Jimmy's, all right. Wonderful, wondrous.
Yeah, dude.
So glorious, all right. So I'll tell you what, I think it's time to pick some things.
I think you're right.
Because that's all that's left. So. Oh my God, we did the same dance.
Well, that's because this is the dance for this song. Excellence.
Did you decide on a thing of the week?
No, you go first. I'll come up with something.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Like looking around.
That's what I did like right before. So I'm gonna decide that my thing of the week is going to be Luna, the DAW by UAD, the DAW by UAD, which is L-U-N-A. Is, yeah, it's so Universal Audio made a few years ago now. They came up with this Luna DAW, and it was really rough for a little while. And then after a year or so, it got to the point where I was willing to kind of give it a try. And I've been using it more and more. Exclusively for music stuff. I do a lot that isn't music, and I would never dream of using it for that. This is a very music-focused thing. But the news is that there was a recent update a few days ago or a week or two ago, and they've made it free. They've unlocked it, basically, which has been their plan for a while that they've been working up to. But originally, it was attached to UAD hardware. So if you had one of their hardware interfaces, you could use Luna. Because it integrates really strongly with those hardware interfaces. But a few updates ago, they made it so that it was it could switch to core audio on Mac. So it could basically just use whatever audio device on Mac. And then a few months after that, I guess after some testing proved that it was working or something, they've unlocked it. So it's now free to download for anybody, regardless of whether you own any UAD products. And because it's not locked to the hardware, you can just use it with core audio. Now, for me, the main thrust of the thing is its integration with UAD's interfaces. The fact that they have onboard processing, and this DAW knows about all that, so it just effortlessly switches back and forth. Like when I put a track into record mode, whatever plugins are on that track will go into hardware mode, and when they're not in record mode, they'll go native. And it's seamless. It works great. So I can do things like I was doing yesterday with the band. Like I can track guitars and bass, and the amp sim is in the hardware. So I'm actually tracking a DI, but I don't have to have that workflow of having a second track that's a DI and having the amp printing and all that shit.
Okay.
Like we're recording and the guitar player says, oh, can I have a little more treble on this? Like I just turn the knob. I haven't made any changes that are baked in. If I go back and play back a different part of the song, it includes the change we just made because it's all happening real time in hardware. So that's why I kind of got into it, because it works really well with the interface that I have. But that's not the only thing about it. So I actually think that this is a cool DAW for somebody who isn't super into one already. I think this would be a good beginner one for somebody who wants to get into music production, because it's got what you need. But it's not over featured. So it is very simple compared to basically every other DAW I've ever touched. The options panel is like one page, you know what I mean? There's just not there. It has keyboard shortcuts. So if you're a shortcut ninja like me, like you can work your way around like that. It has all the things like the fancy warping of audio that DAWs can do now. It has all that UAD analog sim goodness stuff kind of baked in, and works really well with all that. It had, it comes with some software instruments that include drum machines and other kinds of sounds and things like that. So the free version has a few things. It has a tape simulator. It has the shape instrument, which is the one that's sort of a sampler kind of thing, an arpeggiator, sort of very basic stuff. And then you can buy this bundle, this pro bundle, that for $200 you get it, and it comes with all this extra shit that you would, that is like an add-on for it. Extra plugins, extra tape stuff. It has a bunch of things in it that they act like a recording console. Like there's a specific slot in the DAW where your console sim goes and where your tape sim goes. They don't go in the normal slots, you know? So anyway, there's all this extra shit. I have a bunch of UAD plugins that I use with it, but it works with all other stuff. So whatever. I think it's cool. So, be worth a try for somebody who, you know, maybe wants like to get into music production.
I use Logic, and I should say I am not a power user. I don't know what I'm doing. I need more than GarageBand, you know, and Logic is one of those things like I'm way underqualified with it. It does what I need to do, and I'm getting pretty quick at what I need to do, but I'm not here making real, fully polished, finished products, you know?
Right.
So is there any reason someone like me would check this out?
Well,
or other than to just check it out?
I think the simplicity of it could be cool. If you know how to do what you need to do already in Logic, then you're probably fine. The pull of like the fact that it's laid out very much like a recording console, and it has some appeal for somebody who's used an analog console probably and hadn't used software. So on that sense, it has some appeal. Other than that, I honestly think it's kind of like if you don't have something you're using already, or if you feel like experimenting, I think it's cool. I like the way it's set up. I like the way it feels, and it has a simplicity to it, which is nice. It's almost like restrictions that might be helpful in creativity. Now, coming from Logic, though, I'll tell you right now, you're going to miss the drummer, the Logic drummer.
Yeah, that was the first thing that came to mind, was I use the drummer all the time.
Yeah, if you use Logic drummer, no, we don't have that over here. You would be having to install that or with some other system or something.
Yeah.
You know, it has good MIDI capability, and I was editing drums and guitars and stuff, and they sound fantastic done in Luna, but it's I use it for things like that, and I have occasionally drawn some MIDI in it that works fine too. I don't do all that much MIDI. It does strike me as like if you're somebody who does a lot of electronic stuff, this probably isn't going to be exactly your jam. If you like the Logic drummer, you're going to miss that. And it's simple. It's for If anybody has UAD hardware and you haven't tried it yet to record your music, then you're really missing out. So like anybody has like an Apollo Twin or something at home and is making like self-making their recordings, this thing is very game-changing for your workflows. Other than that, I just think it would be cool. I think somebody should check it out if they are just getting into music production or are just interested in experimenting and
nice.
Highly recommend. I had a client last week who hasn't really done very much. It was his first time in the studio, and he's used something called BandLab, which I think he did on his phone to record a demo. Oh. Okay. I don't know what that is, but it was like on his phone. He's like, I really know nothing. Like, what should I check out if I was going to get into a computer-based thing that's a little bit more? And I was like, well, this. You know, if you have a Mac,
it's free now.
Well, that's the other thing, right? It's Mac only. UAD does do Windows, but you know, we'll see. I don't know if they have made any promises.
So I'm sorry. Is it that Luna is Mac only, or the free version is Mac only?
Luna is Mac only.
Okay.
currently. Yeah. I think. Yeah. It's,
I think you're right.
I think I'm right. I think it's Mac only. UAD has been a bit, Universal Audio has been a bit attached to Mac. They do have Windows versions of like their plugin software, and like Apollos do work on Windows. But they are kind of Mac first, for better or worse, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So maybe I will check it out. I don't know.
It doesn't hurt anything to check out. But yeah, you're going to miss the hell out of Drummer. You're not going to keep using this, frankly.
yeah.
And I would love to, you know what, if Apple made Logic Drummer as like a plugin, I would be looking really squinty at that. Because I have drum software that I love. But that functionality, I don't think anybody's matched. So
it's a lot of fun. You get really close to Apple's game.
They have no desire to open that up. But if they ever did,
you get really close to where you want to be with the drummer.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah.
Really fast. It's a lot of fun. So I do have a thing of the week. My thing of the week is, I'm going to grab you a link.
Do it.
I got for my birthday, which was just almost a month ago, Beth got me this cocktail smoker kit from the Crafty Cocktail. And I've been, I'm not drinking a ton, but I'm getting a little more into cocktails as we get into the winter seasons here, the colder months. And having a little cocktail smoker is awesome. I love this thing. It came with a torch. A nice quality heavy metal butane torch, three types of wood to put into the smoker, and the smoker chamber itself. It is not the kind that has a platform and then a dome, like a bell jar that goes over. It's not that. It's just like a little hat that goes on top of your glass. You insert the wood chips into the top
of
that.
It makes your glass into a chimney. Pipe.
Yeah. You put the chips into the chimney there, and you just torch it from the top, and it smokes right down. Through convection and stuff.
Right.
And it's so cool. It's super fast. It's the kit that I got, I think it's the one pictured here, came with three different types of wood chips. There's one that's like barrel aged, which I'm assuming is oak, like charred oak. There's a cherry and hickory. And so for stuff like, that's the one there.
Yeah.
For stuff like whiskey drinks, you know, doing barrel aged is kind of not where you want to be because it's already barrel aged.
You haven't added anything there.
Yeah. So I really like Manhattans, for example, which is typically garnished with a cherry or something like that. So using cherry wood to smoke it is this like extra little, hey, check this out kind of thing. They also make other woods and other things that you can add to the chamber. So let me see. They've got spice and herb mix, which is rosemary, citrus, and cinnamon. So I'm probably going to pick those up. and it takes very little wood to generate smoke for one cocktail. A short pinch of chips is all you need. So the little bit that this comes with, the like 3 ounces of wood chips per style, will last a really long time.
Yeah.
Long, long time. So it's awesome. Get yourself a drink smoker. It's cool. Makes your house smell good.
Plus, I mean, the torch in the shape of a gun is kind of undeniable, right?
It's so cool. It's so cool. And it's like the jet engine style. It's like, poof, right? It's not just a lighter. It's awesome. Right.
Yeah. Cool, man.
Yeah, dude.
I love it. Yeah, I saw a little, you'd sent a video, so I was kind of aware, but that's pretty neat.
A lot of fun.
Love it.
Hey, so that was an episode, kind of.
Hey, man, it was.
The internet sometimes doesn't want to agree, and
sometimes it thinks you need to be passed through Australia and back. So maybe it was that, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just, sometimes computers need to be turned off and on again, and that's stupid. But
I think I'm going to turn it off when we're done here.
Yeah, you're just going to say, you know what, good night.
Take a nap. I'll see you tomorrow.
Right. We'll see how it goes. See how it goes from there.
All right. Well, hey, listen, everybody. We appreciate your support, and we appreciate you listening to bad episodes like this one, because sometimes they're good.
It's a sometimes mystery. You'll never know until you get here.
Here's the exciting thing. We don't even know when we start, when we click record, we're like, is this going to be a good one? Maybe.
Thanks for coming on this journey with us.
Right? This one was humbling. I'll say that.
I think we've had a streak of pretty good episodes. So we were bound to return, you know, regression to the mean.
Hey, you know what we didn't talk about though?
What?
I'm pointing at you with my pen.
A pen.
We did not talk about our next giveaway.
Oh, yes. Because I had wholly and completely forgotten about it already.
As did I. So next time. We're not going to talk about it? No.
You know what? You're 2 weeks from finding out what our next giveaway will be.
Yeah. It's probably going to involve the newsletter. What do you know?
What do you fucking know, buddy?
So, hey, link to that in the show notes.
Yeah.
But another giveaway is coming. I'll tell you right now, it's not going to be as extravagant as the 10-year. You have to wait another 10 years for that. Well, it's a fun one. So, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, then all that's left. You started in with thank you all for your support. And I thought you were going to.
You want me to do it? I'll do it.
No, I thought you were going to like take over because of how bad I am at it. You were just going to like try to think. I was like, that's exactly what you were thinking. That's exactly what you were thinking.
It could be.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see what happens when Derek does the read down.
Hey, everybody, listen, if you love what you hear, you can head over to patreon.com/thetonecontrol and support us for as little as a dollar a month. And with that comes things like our eternal love and for your support and stuff. I just pulled a Justin. Oh, my God.
You said my line.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, the people who are supporting us on Patreon for episode 253 are Nick Greenwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks podcast, Andrew Walsh of Andrew's Alcove, Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effects, Doug Gann, and Justin's Left Shoe.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's it. See you next time, nerds. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.